always keep your promises. And you said that you would return to Ephesus. You said that you were coming back. You told us the grave was in gonna hold you down. Thank you.
Morning. We'll go ahead and get started. I want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. Before we get into Sunday school, as we always do, we like to take spoken prayer requests and go to the Lord in prayer, and that'll give people a little bit more time to kind of come in as well if they're running a little bit late this morning. So anybody got any spoken prayer requests this time? Absolutely. Everyone, Lisa? I'm sorry. What do you need to get? Yes, sir, dude.
Bless your heart, brother.
Amen, brother. Good to see you. God bless you, brother. Amen. Somebody else? Yes, ma'am. Cool thing. Brother Jack? Anyone else? I'd like to pray for my family. Pray for my children. She's good. She's good. Pray for Jake specifically, though. He needs the Lord. You know, plain and simple. Anybody else? Any spoken prayer request just between you and the Lord with uplifted hands? God knows every situation, every circumstance. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. We'll take these to the Lord in prayer. And let's pray over the service as well. Brother Terry, you share these. Have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn back to the book of Hebrews. We're going to continue on in the book of Hebrews this morning. Talked a little bit about it last week. Then we got a couple special Sundays coming up in a row, Lord willing. As far as Brother Terry's going to be teaching next Sunday, and then Josh the following Sunday after that, Lord willing. And the last Sunday of this month, we're having some tag team preaching. Okay, and there's going to be several of us that I'm looking forward to it. Don't really know how that's going to look just yet, but I'm sure it'll work out, okay? But before we do so, we kind of want to touch a little bit on the book of Hebrews because the Lord kind of put it on my heart. We touched last week right before, and I'll just go over just a little bit to kind of get back into it this morning. In the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, where it talks about, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the vision of soul and spirit, of joints of marrow, and of discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. That scripture right there specifically, as we're talking about the book of Hebrews, is Brother Josh, kind of what he taught on here almost a month ago, talking about the altars and stuff like that. It's kind of, I don't know, maybe birthed this couple weeks here, Terry, about the book of Hebrews, because he touched a little bit on, when he was up here, if you guys remember, of how we had a how the Jews and the way God had put it out with the law of how we were to approach the Lord, the way, if you will, to the holy place. And like I said, I think I might ask this last Sunday, is anybody here Jewish? No Jews here? Okay. So, and I sort of figured that. There's nobody that's Jew here. So guess what? Each one of us were as counted as dogs. Okay? And literally, there was only one little area that we could come to, Brother Joe. The court of the Gentiles was as far as we could go. Period. And then the Jews could go a little bit further, and then the priests could go a little bit further, and then the high, you know, that's how it went. But in other words, we did not have direct access to God. It's that simple. We did not have direct access to God, Terry. We had no way to get to God. We would literally, we were hopeless, plain and simple. And just mankind in general was relying upon a law, the law specifically, that if Felicity, for example, was a follower of the law, she would have to go once a year and offer that sacrifice to the priest for them to go make an offering for her. And if she couldn't afford it, she'd have to buy one. That's how it had kind of morphed into by the time Jesus gets there. And she would give it to them, and they'd have to go make a sacrifice for her, and this, that, and that would cover her for the year, so to speak. But before the high priest could do that on the Day of Atonement, which would happen one time a year, he himself would have to separate himself from everything for a period of time, including his wife. He would separate himself, and he would consecrate himself. Okay, he would first make an offering for himself to ask God to cover his sins for the year, because can I tell you something right now? You can't go before God in a sinful manner and try to pray for other people. Let me back that up. I didn't plan on hitting that. You can't go before God in a sinful manner and try to pray for other people. Okay, now I'm talking about priests here, but that can go today. In other words, even when I was, before I got saved, I recognized, plain and simple, when I needed prayer, I'd go to a Christian for prayer. Because I was in a sinful state, and I knew, Joe, well, what, I need to be saved first before I start asking God for things. Okay? Plain and simple, I need to have a relationship with Him. Really is basically what it come down to. And that's what they were doing. They were going to the priest who had a relationship with God, okay, who would then offer that sacrifice for Terry, Felicity, Joe, me, Lisa, Eva, all those things, because we didn't have direct access to God. We had no way to get there. Okay, Brother Joe? Sure. Yeah. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Amen, brother. Amen. But the thing about it is, back in before Christ come, that wasn't even possible. That, we didn't even have that, okay? So, you know, when we start talking about the things that Jesus did, you know, at the cross, oftentimes, you know, we'll talk about, you know, the death, burial, and resurrection, and rightfully so talk about death, burial, and resurrection, but oftentimes we forget about this part right here in the book of Hebrews, as Josh touched on briefly, how he tore down the veil. We got direct access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Now, all of a sudden, we don't just have to. We're allowed past the court of the Gentiles, okay? But back then, that was it, okay? And that man of God, that high priest, would go and make a sin offering first for himself, and then once a year he would go into the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was, and he'd make a sin offering, a blood offering rather, for the sins of Israel, for the sins of the nation. And what he would do is he would dip his finger in that blood, and three times he would tip the mercy seat and point eastward. Three times, dip, eastward. Dip, eastward. Dip, eastward. And that was a specific reason for that, okay? Because he was pointing towards something that was coming that was greater. There was going to be somebody that come through the eastern gate that was going to bring the whole thing to pass. So there wasn't no coincidence the reason he was touching it and pointing eastward. Because Jesus was getting ready to come through the eastern gate, and mercy was going to come riding on that donkey. Amen? So there's a, God knew what he was doing all along, okay? But back then in those days, we just didn't have that. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that the veil tore in two from top to bottom. And that was a pretty big veil. It was the thickness of a man's hand. It was dark on the other side of that veil. You understand that? There was no LED lights. There was no mining helmet. There wasn't even a candle. Okay, could you imagine how dark it would be? There was no windows. There was it was a block building with no windows and a veil that was as thick as a man's hand that ran from the top to the bottom and all the way to the sides. It might as well have been a closed-in room. It would be total darkness in there. But when the Bible says that when the temple veil ripped from top to bottom, guess what? The light that was out on the cross shined all the way into the holy place. You understand that? God knew what he was doing, folks. So we didn't have no access to this. But then Jesus comes, as Josh was teaching, and praise be to God, we now have access to God the Father. I do not have to go to anybody and ask forgiveness. I don't have to go to a priest. I don't have to save up my money for an offering, Felicity. I don't have to raise me a bunch of lambs and really hope I get one that's spotless, that don't have one black hair, don't have nothing wrong with it whatsoever, and then separate him and all these things. Jesus made it so much easier. And he gave us all access. That is the wonderful thing. That's one of the things that we often forget about in our Western Christian thinking, is we think about the death, burial, and resurrection. But you know, you realize how privileged we are to live in the day that we live in, that Jesus Christ has made the way, has provided everything. Do you understand that? How much harder it was. The Bible said Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. Okay? David wished with everything in him. He lived when you live. Do you understand that? Because the Holy Spirit that now lives inside of every one of us did not live inside of David. You understand that? Very tough times. But as we was talking about all those things, the scripture says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 and 13, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, we talked also about that two-edged sword a little bit last week, about the importance of it being two-edged. And as I was studying and stuff like that, I remember bringing it up. If I'm in head-to-hand combat with somebody with a two-edged sword, odds are we're in pretty close proximity to one another. Okay? And a two-edged sword is very versatile, quick. Okay? And also, one thing is if I would thrust towards somebody with a two-edged sword, he can't grab a hold of that sword and try to jerk it from me because it's got two edges on it. He's going to cut his hand. He's going to slice his hand off. Okay, so that is one thing. But here's the other thing about that scripture I didn't get because of time. I didn't get to get into it. The Greek actually means a little bit more to that. And it's this. The word of God has a sharp sword on it anyway. Okay? But when you speak it, it now has the other edge. That's what that Greek word really means when you dive into it. So in other words, the word of God is sharp regardless whether you use it or not. But when you use it, now all of a sudden you can do hand-to-hand combat with the enemy and there's nothing he can do about it. And the Bible makes it plain that unless you're willing to use it, then you've got no weapon that you're going to be able to fight the adversary with. We all talk about the whole armor of God, don't we? What is the only weapon you have in the armor of God? What is the only offensive weapon that you have? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. And that in itself, in our society today, I've had a lot of people ask me this. I want to grow in the Lord. What would you recommend that I do? First and foremost, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Coming to church is very important. You need to come to church. You need to be among God's people. You need to worship. You need to pray. You need to do all those things. And when you start growing in the Lord, you'll begin fasting and stuff of that nature. But praying, but reading the Bible, Pearl, is so vital today. It is so vital today because we live in such a day, Terry, that people are easily swayed and people are easily misled, and they'll take in false doctrine and not even realize it's false doctrine. You understand that? People get their truth today from news agencies. You understand that? Can I tell you why news agencies ain't news agencies anymore? I don't care. Listen, I don't care if you love Fox News. I don't care. I don't care if you love CNN, MSNBC. I don't care. Can I tell you why they're not news agencies? Because people pay for them to have ads on their shows. And if I'm paying to have an ad on a show, I'm wanting to be an influencer of that show. You understand that? I'm going to cater to those people that pay me money. So whether you want to admit it or not, what side of the aisle you're on, it doesn't matter. That's not truth. They'll give you a version of the truth, but they're not going to give you the whole truth. You understand that? The truth, Jeremiah, will stand when the world's on fire. And the only form of truth, unfortunately, it's not the news. And ready for this? It's not the U.S. Constitution. The only form of truth in this world today is the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. That's the only source of truth. The only source of truth. I promise you this, one of these days when every single one of us stand before the Lord, they're not going to pull out a Fox News clip. They're not going to pull out a Time Life magazine article and judge you from it. You ready for this? They're not going to pull up the Constitution, and Jesus ain't going to have to Google anything about you. We all are going to be judged on the Word of God. Plain and simple, how we lived our life according to the Scripture. So the Bible says it is powerful than any two-edged sword. And here's what it can do. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It is the only thing that can separate the spirit man from the physical man. Think about that. It's able to determine your thoughts. It's able to determine your emotions. Every single thing that we need to survive on this planet until we get to heaven, guess what? The Word of God will provide that for us. And you got to understand that. But if you don't use it, if we fail to use it, then we've lost that vital weapon. Folks, listen. It's not going to get any easier till he comes back. It's not going to, okay? We have got to be equipped. We have absolutely got to study the Word of God. We've got to read the Word of God. And let me ask you a question. How many people here love getting a word from God when you need a word, when you're praying for a word? Amen? Hey, and I love when the Lord will use a brother or sister in Christ, come up to me and give me a word of encouragement, give me a word of direction. I praise God for that, amen? How many here people love getting a word, amen? Can I tell you something right now? Without a shadow of a doubt, I've gotten more words from the Lord through his word than anybody else that's ever given it to me combined. So what's that mean? That means if I'm needing a word from God, if I'm praying about a situation or circumstance, God can, and he does sometimes send somebody with me that, you know, gives me that word of knowledge, that word of wisdom, and I praise God for those spiritual gifts. But if I need something from God, I don't go looking for somebody. I go to the Word. That's what I'll do. I'll go straight to my Bible. I'll start reading Scripture. I'll start, you know, Lord, where would you like me to read at? I'll feel impressed to read in the book of Hebrews. I'll feel impressed to go in Ephesians or Philippians or whatever it is, Romans, whatever the Lord puts on my heart, and I'll just start reading, Terry. And I'm going to tell you right now, I can't tell you how many times I've been reading something, and stop. Oh, I've never saw that before. Never looked at it in that way before. And whatever I was going through, Tiffany, guess what? There it was, right there in the Scripture. Because the Word of God is powerful. It is a roadmap for every single person that's sitting in this church today. It'll point you to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amber? Mm-hmm. Amen. Absolutely. Amen. How many people's had that happen before? Amen. Okay. Why is that? Why is that? Why? It's alive. It's a live, living word. Plain and simple. So in other words, what she said, if you couldn't hear in the back, there's been times she takes notes, and which is a great thing to do. And, you know, you could get something 2 years ago from a scripture, and you've jotted it down, and you're like, okay. And you go back reading it now, and you can kind of touch them notes a little bit, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I got something else out of it. That's good. That's part of it. But now what about this part that the Lord's give you? It's layered because it's alive. See, the good thing about the Word of God is this. There's been a lot of books written that are great books. How many people love to read? But there are some people that love to read, okay, and that's great. I thank God for those type of people. I do. I wish I could be one of those people. I'll tell you that right now. I read the Bible. That's the only reading that I really ever could get into. I'm not lying. I'm not trying to sound like I'm a holy person, because I'm not saying that. But Terry, I just never had a desire to read, even in grade school. How many people remember grade school, how they used to make you read in grade school? Me and Tara talk about the things when we was growing up compared to now, because she's a school teacher. We grew up with a military style of education. Whether you guys realize it or not, everybody sat in rows. You took your turns. When it come time to go to the lunchroom, you got in a line. Everything was a military function. You done it this way, you done it that way, you done it this way. Everything was structured like the military, in order, no confusion, and this, that, and other. And that's all good. There's nothing wrong with that. But I remember specifically, we would be reading out loud. I don't know if they do that anymore, but they did when we was in school. And they would start, you read a paragraph in this row. You'd read your paragraph, you'd go to this one in this row. They'd read the next paragraph or whatever. And a lot of times you pray to God you got the small paragraph. Come on, you know I'm not lying. You know I'm not lying. Or the easy words, yeah, you definitely didn't want the hard words in your paragraph. So you would go down there beforehand and kind of count. You'd start practicing reading quietly because you didn't want to jumble it up when you spoke out to everybody else. Am I telling the truth? We in church, don't be lying. But I remember that specifically, doing that, okay? And as you would do that, you just wanted to be able to pull it off, Joe, and not bobble it up. You understand what I'm saying? And so those words that we would speak in those ways, I would struggle with sometimes understanding them. I could read something, but not really understand it after I got done reading it, because I wasn't focused on what I was focused on, trying not to mess up when I was reading it out loud. Does that make sense to you? So I would struggle as a child with reading comprehension, understanding what I had just read. Does that make any sense to you? Okay? But I was learning to read. I could read. My teachers didn't fail me or anything like that. Maybe that was just something I struggled with or something like that. But I love that people love to read. I wish I loved to read, okay? But here's the good thing about the Word of God. As many books as you've read in your life, and as many great books that's ever been written, they're always dated. How many times have you listened to a song and it's dated? You ever heard a song that's dated? There's an old country music song that says, "Here's a quarter, call someone who cares." How is that dated? Ain't no payphones. If there was a payphone, good luck on making a call for a quarter. Right? So that is a dated song. Books, if you're reading a book, it can be dated. It can talk about stuff that was happening during the Civil War or whatever. It's dated. In other words, it's not a live, it's a written for its period, and that's it. It's good for that day. It might be good for a generation, but after that, it becomes dated. The Word of God's not like that. But someone that read this 200 years ago, you understand George Washington read the same Bible you read? You understand that? And the Word of God spoke to George Washington in a way back then that still speaks to Jeremiah Osborne today. It is that powerful because it is a living, breathing Word of God. And it is able to move. It is able to minister. As you said, you write a note 2 years later, then God speaks to you in a different way. And it's the same scripture. Same exact scripture. It's amazing how God does that. So the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide all these things. And it goes on in Hebrews chapter 14, it says, verse 14, "Seeing that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So in other words, whether it's back in those days or some religions today, I'll go ahead and say it. If they felt like they wronged somebody, if they done something wrong, they'll go to a man in a little box and confess their sins. And want that man in turn, pray for them. Say however many Hail Marys. Look, I'm not picking on nobody. I don't pick on religion. Okay? That's just the way it is, right? Truth's truth, folks. You got some people that think that's the way it's done. Back in the days of the law, if somebody messed up, somebody sinned, I knew I had to go to somebody. You know, tell the look, you know, offer a sin offering. I messed up. Offer a sin offering. Okay, he take care of it for you. In other words, I couldn't do it myself, Terry. And there's some people today that still operate in that confines that they can't do it themselves. They can't approach Jesus themselves. Can I tell you the good thing? One of the great things about Jesus is this. He loves everybody. He knows everybody's name. That's a good thing about Jesus. One of my favorite things that my dad ever taught me was this. And it sticks with me big time. Nobody is better than you are, son, and you're no better than anybody else. You put your shoes on, you put your pants on just like they did, and vice versa. You have no right to treat anybody like they're less than you do, but nobody is any better than you are. Okay, now that kind of rung through to me, Terry, growing up and stuff like that, because as Terry knows, being from Greenville, we kind of used to get elbowed a little bit and ridiculed a little bit and looked down on a little bit. Am I telling the truth? It happened. Whether you want to admit it, it happened, okay? That being said, that built up something inside of me that I was just as good as anybody else. I knew what my daddy taught me, okay? That being said, I don't have to go to nobody when I mess up. I don't have to go to a priest. I don't have to go to somebody that's got a lot of money. You know what? If I've messed up, if I've sinned and come short of the glory of God, I can go to Jesus Christ myself and he's going to hear my prayers. Ain't that a privilege? Ain't that a blessing? That we have that the veil has been torn into, Brother Joe. And if I mess up, if I sin, then you know what? I don't have to wait till I get off work and drive to the mass or whatever they have. I can, you know what? I can steal away, Sam, if I need to. I can have a prayer with Jesus. I can go out in my car or to the bathroom or whatever and say, Lord, it's me again. I messed up. Holy Spirit lets you know right away. Amen? Listen, the good thing about the Holy Spirit is he is not selective. He don't play favorites. He shoots it straight. If he needs to be blunt with you, he'll be blunt with you. But if he needs to be loving to you, he would be loving to you. He knows how to get across to every single individual. There's been times the Holy Spirit's rebuked me like that, Pearl. Just felt like I was being kicked in the teeth. I would have rather been kicked in the teeth than to felt like that as soon as that conviction come, and I knew I'd let him down, Teresa, and it just took that whooping. Been many a times I'd rather been beat with a switch than whooped from the Lord. Amen? But there's also been times that he knew I was broken. He knew I was broke as soon as it happened. There wasn't no need to chastise me. I was already broke down, and you know what? He put his arms around me and love on me anyway. And it was like he was... Amen. He knows. Yes. Yes. And you're not going to hide anything from him. No, nobody in this planet is going to hide anything from the Lord. Okay? You can hide sin all you want from people, but it ain't going to be hid from the Lord. One of these days when we all get to heaven, we're going to stand before the Lord. Like I said, Jesus ain't going to Google anything about nobody. He's going to already know. Amen. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. But it says that we have a high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Our infirmities, by the way, is our feebleness. Ready for this? Whether by mind or body. So in other words, we have a high priest that is touched with our weaknesses. So in other words, he understands. When you have a physical ailment, when you have a mental ailment, when you have an emotional ailment, he understands. He is touched with your infirmities because he is like us, in all points tempted yet without sin. So in other words, he went through what we went through. So there's nobody more perfect, Joe, than to stand before the Father and intercede on our behalf than somebody that went through it already. Amen? Can I ask you this? Have you ever went through something that tore you to your very soul? Have you ever lost a loved one? Have you ever experienced a loss in life and it hurt? but the Lord helped you through it, and now you're stronger for it, and then somebody else go through it, can you not minister to them? Why? Because you've been through it. Jesus Christ has been through it. So in other words, what the book of Hebrews is telling us, we have a high priest that is so great because he's been through what we've been through. That's the good thing about it. Are you ready for this? You don't have to have money for Jesus to love you and to accept you. Ready for this? Here's a good thing about it. You don't have to uphold a code of conduct for him to love you. Oh, hold on there. We don't have to be perfect to be saved. Matter of fact, I ain't never seen a perfect person in here, have you? And you ready for this? When you get saved, I got news for you. You're going to sin again. There ain't nobody perfect. Okay? But I'm going to tell you something. Another thing my dad taught me. When I fell off a bike, I just didn't give up. I got up, got back on it again, and took back off. So in other words, when you give your life to the Lord, you're going to mess up. But you have an advocate. You have a high priest that knows you're going to mess up. And when you have somebody like that, when you do mess up, when you inevitably do fail, not that you practice sin. You don't practice sin. You don't sit around thinking of things you can do to connive and scheme and this, that, and the other. You don't do that no more, okay? You don't practice sin. But there's going to be times that you let a word slip or you let your anger get the best of you or you just mess up. You find yourself in a bind, you make a bad choice, you make a bad decision, and you sin. The Bible's saying we have an advocate with the Father. We have a high priest who is touched with our infirmities. So in other words, he understands that you did that, okay? And he don't kick you to the curb. You ever had anybody ever do that? Write them off. You know what? If I got written off for every mistake I ever made, I'd be a pretty lonely fella. How about you guys? Amen? So guess what? We've got a high priest that knows what we've been through, and he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's in all points tempted, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, are you ready for this? Parents discipline in different ways. When I messed up in life, I got whooped with a belt. How many people here got whooped with a belt growing up? The others ain't raising your hand, you lying. Switch, I've had switches, belts, cast iron skillets. I ain't lying. Had a broom handle broke over my head one time. I ain't lying. That was the difference with my mom and dad. When you get a little bit older, in my mom's offense, she couldn't hurt me no more, Sam. So she grabbed whatever she could grab. She wasn't being abusive. She just grabbed what was handy. Okay? Dad always took the belt and made good use of it. That's just the way he was. You bent over and you touched the bed and you didn't get up till he was done. Well, it was always a good belt, I can tell you that. I didn't care what kind of belt, he just kept hitting me. I just wish he'd stopped. And he had this knack for hitting the exact same spot every time. Had really good aim. Don't stick your hand back there, you're just going to make it worse. Don't fight it, don't stand up, don't try to run. Take it and get it over with. That was what it was, okay? That being said, I grew up being disciplined, okay? But every child reacts different to different disciplines, okay? That's really what I'm kind of getting at here. Every child acts different. And it says, oftentimes, when we mess up, if we are sincerely following somebody, we're going to be pretty disappointed already that we messed up. Amen? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about me doing something when I was a kid hoping I'd get by with it. And then Dad found out about it and I didn't get by with it. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about when you was doing something you sincerely was trying to do right and you just messed up. Okay? We often as people, especially as Christians, I have found this, as Christians, we have a problem when we sin. We have a problem with going back to God about it. We'll hold on to it. Sometimes we feel ashamed that we did it. Can I tell you what the Bible says that we are to do? Not to come crawling, but to come boldly. There's a big difference there. Boldly in your sin, no. That's not what it's talking about. Boldly because of who you're coming to. Even though my daddy whooped me when I messed up. Even though he would tell me, he'd straighten me out, Teresa, if I ever needed it. He's the first one I'd run to. Because I could trust him. I could count on him. I knew he loved me, Joe. I knew he was a source of discipline. He was a source of strength. But he's also a source of love. Amen, Brother Jeff. That's right. There you go. Yes, sir. Yep. That's right. And what the adversary often does is to talk about what Brother Joe's talking about there is when we mess up, when we've sinned and come short of the glory of God, we are to pray about it. Amen? The Holy Spirit lets you know right away you messed up. You don't have to go home and ask your spouse that evening, did I mess up today? Terry, did I sin today? Ted, I don't know. I wasn't with you all day. First off. But even if you spent the whole day with each other, I don't know. Did you look somebody wrong? Did you have a mean thought? Did you get angry? I don't know. I got no idea. You know what I'm saying? But if I mess up, I promise Holy Spirit lets me know I did. Okay? If I wrong Matt, I promise Matt ain't going to have to point it out to me. Holy Spirit's going to let me know it before he points his finger. Even if he points his finger, I'm going to know as soon as it comes out of my mouth. I'm going to know. Holy Spirit's going to convict you. You're going to know right away. Okay? But, now you ready for this? And we pray, and the Lord forgives us. We confess it openly, and the Lord is just and faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But then you come to church on Sunday, and guess what? Now you still don't feel like you can come boldly before Him. Because the devil's trying to bring it up to you, what you did this week. Well, how in the world, you big hypocrite, you can get in there and raise your hands and praise the Lord when you said what you said this week. How in the world are you going to be? You're supposed to go up there and do this and do that. You need to be up at the altar praying. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're the one that needs to be up there. They're talking about altars. You need to get your hind in up there. That's what the devil's going to tell you. And we don't feel like we can come boldly before Him. Can I tell you something right now? Once He's forgiven you, folks. He's cast it as far as from the east to the west, never to be remembered against you again. A very wise person told me one time, and I loved it, said, how come the prophet can't see past sins? Seems like the Lord will give the prophet a word, and man, he can read your mail, but he can't see what you used to do. You know what he said? Not even the prophet can read through the blood. Ooh, that's pretty good. Not even the prophet can read through the blood. Amen? Because when we've been forgiven and Jesus forgives us, it's washed away. Never going to be remembered against me again. Praise be to God. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. Amen? But it says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, okay, and find grace to help in time of need. So now, we can obtain mercy, okay? We messed up. We come to the throne of God, and we obtain mercy when we did that. But we can find grace. Are you ready for this? I found that odd, that the wording, so I kind of went back there. And you ready for this? This is pretty good. Obtain mercy, but find grace. So when you pray and you are forgiven, okay, you've obtained mercy. You've been forgiven. It's not going to be remembered against you no more. But you have an option from that point on whether you find grace. And I say it like this. Our Lord is so loving, okay? He has forgiven us. We messed up in that situation, that circumstance. We sinned. We come short of the glory of God. We prayed. He forgave us. But ready for this, the problem's still there and it ain't been solved yet. Right? Come on. We're going to get real. Just because we pray don't mean every problem goes away. Amen. That's the truth. Now that's the truth. But here's what he does when it comes to obtaining mercy but finding grace. Here's what I liken it to. If I would bake a bunch of cookies and set them out here right in front of you guys, okay, and let you know right away, listen, when you come up here, you can get one, take it back. It's free, no big deal. You get what you want. Take as many as you want. It'll help you, take it. Okay? You come up here, it's up to you whether or not you grab that cookie and take it back. I've made the offer. It's plentiful. There's nothing stopping you from taking 17 of them or two. It's up to you, okay? How hungry you are, whatever you can eat, take as many as you want, okay? I've made it there for you. I've made it plentiful for you, okay? We can obtain mercy, but oftentimes we don't find grace. It's up to us whether or not we're going to go for it, whether we're going to take it, whether we're going to accept it and then use it. Why? Because we need to find grace, as the rest of the verse says, to help in time of need. We've obtained the mercy. We've been forgiven. We've accepted that. We've received that. But Lord, I don't know how to go. I don't know how to go forward. Well, Jesus one-ups us even that. So in other words, I'll give you the mercy. You messed up, but I'm also going to help you with it if you'll let me. But oftentimes we don't go that extra step and we don't say, Lord, how do I need to proceed in this? I've got a high priest, not only Brother Joe, that can forgive me, okay? I don't have to go to the priest in Jerusalem. I don't have to go to a priest in New York City. I've got someone that will forgive me, and when I pray to him, he goes directly to God the Father on my behalf. Ain't that good? Now, ready for this? If you go to the high priest in Israel or whatever in those days, or a priest in New York City, you can confess those sins and they may pray for you, but they ain't going with you wherever you go back out there and solving a problem for you. Why, not only do I have a priest that will forgive me of those sins and pray and talk to the Father on my behalf, he'll walk with me to the problem. That's a big difference right there, folks. That is a bigger help than what I've ever could even dreamed to have. And you ready for this? He's the Son of God. There's no bigger name than him. I don't care how much you love Donald Trump. He don't trump Jesus. Amen? I don't care who the prime minister of Israel is. He don't trump Jesus. I got news for you. You've been given an opportunity to have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords into our lives. And when we mess up, when we sin and come short of the glory of God, he'll forgive us, he'll walk with us, and he'll help us solve our problems. That's pretty big, guys, because I'm going to be honest with you. I got 3 kids. There's times I got a lot of problems. Sometimes it's my own doing. Okay, I'm not going to blame it all on my kids. Sometimes I do think, boy, I'd have a lot less if I didn't have them. I do think that sometimes. But then I think, well, oh, I wouldn't have the blessings either. Amen? So I'm thankful for that. But listen, whether they're involved in it or not, Terry, I've got enough problems on my own. I can create enough problems for myself, okay? And I need help in time of need. There's nobody in this building that's sitting here this morning that lives a perfect life. Amen? If there's any perfect people among you, raise your hand. See, nobody raised their hand. And that's the good thing about Jesus Christ. He don't need you to be perfect because he was. Amen. Ain't that good? I don't need a priest. That priest in Jerusalem, that priest in New York City are never going to be perfect, but Jesus is. And I don't have to stand on my own perfectness. I can stand on his. That's the good thing about it. So if you're here this morning, we're getting ready to transfer a little bit over here. We'll open the doors and fellowship a little bit here before we have morning worship. But I want to urge you, I want you to know that if you're here, there ain't nobody in this building's perfect. The guy standing up here being the chief sinner amongst you. As Paul would say, among sinners, I'm chief among you. Amen? So there's nobody here that's ever been perfect. There's nobody here that's perfect this morning. We're only perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning as a visitor, we want you to be welcome. We want you to know you're welcome, first off. We want you to know that, listen, there is no judgment here in this house. Because guess what? Jesus Christ died for every single one of us. And he didn't ask. Listen, I know we didn't do this. We didn't ask for your bank account number when you come in. So you don't have to have money. Whether you got money or don't have money is irrelevant to anybody that is here this morning. But we want you to know that we love you. You're welcome here this morning. And Jesus loves you. Amen.